All right, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Chaz Mosh Show. I am Chaz, a.k.a. Mosh of the Legendary Headbangers, and this is where we talk wrestling, life, and everything in between. And today, I'm excited. This is going to be simply fucking tremendous today. Yes, I said fucking. I usually don't curse on there, but this is going to be so great. Today's guest, he's loud, he's confident, he can be obnoxious, and whether you love him or whether you hate him, you're talking about him. Here he is.
Yes, sir. Come on, coach. Let's go. I'm pumped up, baby. What's happening?
Let's go. Hey, so how's things been? It's been, I haven't seen you. Well, I saw you at WrestleCon, which was amazing. Get to see you and chat. But yeah, how's things been?
You know, coach, everything's been absolutely amazing. It was, first of all, what a fantastic introduction. I got to give that to you. I appreciate you. And yeah, WrestleCon, that was a really cool event for me because it was kind of like my first like weekend per se, like back into the wrestling world since I had stepped away following my release and stuff, which we'll probably get into. But yeah, it was good. It was great seeing you and seeing everybody there and getting to meet like a lot of the people in the indie world that I've seen on social media and have been doing really cool things. So yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And I'm just excited to be back and be doing my thing and getting after it. You know what I'm saying? And awesome. Here on the best podcast in the entire world, baby, yeah. Let's go.
Let's do it. It's actually funny because when you and I were talking, I went back to my table and Glenn was like, who's that? And I'm like, that's fucking BJ Ray. And he goes, that's him? He goes, I'm like, yeah. He goes, I thought he was like a total asshole. He goes, that's all I heard about what an asshole he is. And it just leads me up to the first time we met. I remember, I think it may have been my first week onto the PC, but you know, a year and a half ago, whenever, how long ago that was. I remember looking over at you. I was talking to Carino and I looked over at you and I was like, who's that? I go, it looks just like Rhino. I said, he could be Rhino. I said, is that Rhino's kid? I asked him, he's like, no, it's BJ Ray. And I was like, who's BJ Ray? Like, I, you know, and he goes, well, he's like, you know, one of the new guys. He's doing LFG. And I was like, oh, I'm like, all right. So that night, I think LFG up to that point was maybe three or four episodes in on TV on A&E. So I'm like, all right, I got to binge watch this. And you were such an asshole on TV that I was like, holy shit. I was like, look at this guy being such an, I'm like, he's yelling at Bubba. And like, I was getting hot. And then I was like, what the fuck? And then came into the PC the next day. And, you know, you came over to me and introduced yourself and you said hi. And I was like, hey, like I was waiting for some controversial or something, like, you know,
you're waiting for me to say, hey, here's my bag, can you hold it real quick?
You were so calm and you were so cool. And I was like, he's not an asshole. Hold on. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I get it. Like, character wise, I'm like, I get it. So I guess my question with all of that is, how much of that is real? How much was that was turned up? Was it suggested for you to be that way? And, you know, what were you trying to get across?
That's incredible. I just wanted to tap on one thing real quick. The Rhino thing is super funny because at WrestleCon, everybody was like, dude, you're literally like his son. I'm like, dude, how did WWE creative botch that? That should have just been my that should have been my character right there.
100% did Rhino bring you out.
Rhino should have brought me out. That would have been amazing. So funny. So it takes me way back and you know, I just want to pretense this with, I really think this is gonna be a great conversation for us to have because you're the first person I'm really going to unravel and really kind of let the real BJ Ray out with the ounce of even a little bit of the Braden Ray. There's like three stages, right? So there's sexy BJ Ray, which is, you know, Mr. What you see. And then there's BJ Ray, which is like kind of just like the real me, you know, but you know, I still like to spice things up a little bit. And then there's Braden Ray, which is, you know, the side of me that my mom gets to see, you know. and you know, all three stages are the real me. They're just cranked up in different elements. And so, you know, I've got a lot of different things going on right now in my life and my career and stuff. And I kind of, you know, was holding really strong for a long time to the kayfabe and building this character and this persona during my time with the WWE. but now I kind of want to like have even more fun with it and, you know, be like an actor, right? You know, if you just Chris Pratt, you meet Chris Pratt, you want to meet Chris Pratt. Right. You don't want to meet Star-Lord. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it would be cool if he pulled up, you know, with his little jetpack, but yeah. So, I mean, when I first started doing the LFG thing, I kind of got to backtrack real quick, and I don't want to bore you, but I'll go back.
Listen, this is your platform. This is your time. You say whatever you got to get out.
Let's do it. So this is going to be incredible because a lot of people don't know most of this. So, most people think that my career started with the WWE with LFG season one, which it didn't. I was already in the WWE for a year and a half because I did WWE Next Gen, a show on Roku that they had did during the tryouts. Now, during the show, WWE Next Gen on Roku, I was not yet signed. They were doing a docuseries on the actual WWE tryout. And that was in the spring. That was in the spring of 2023 when I was still in college. Okay. And so it's kind of funny, like a funny story, because, you know, whatever I do, I always knew that I wanted to be in the entertainment business. I did a lot of things at Duke and I had, you know, my major and a couple minors, you know, there's a little smart side there that I don't talk about much, but you know, I took a lot of theater in college, and I knew that if I wanted to get in the entertainment world, it's such an oversaturated business in whatever industry it's in, whether it's, you know, Hollywood or documentaries or professional wrestling or being a music artist. So I knew coming in the WWE and stuff, and I wanted to do reality TV or something in that aspect. And I didn't know much about the WWE, but it kind of seemed like the perfect thing. The whole setup was God ordained. I knew I had to catch people's eye right away. Right. And so everything with me, what's funny is people just think I'm this idiot that says all this stuff or whatever. And to be honest, for this first time I'm going to say this, I'm very calculated about everything I do, right? I choose to put out what I want to be put out. And I'm in control of mostly all of it. And so when I went into Next Gen, I had a conversation and like I said, I don't want to ruin the magic of professional wrestling, right? But everybody knows, you know, it's sports entertainment. Everybody even says it. You look at LFG. You look at the Netflix documentary that came out. It's scripted entertainment, right? So we're making them, like Dusty Rhodes would say, we're making a movie, baby. That's what Carino would tell me to say, right? So I knew that going into it, I'm a go big or go home kind of guy. And I wanted to commit fully. So I had a talk with Shawn Michaels and Bloomin. I wasn't even signed at this point. My teammate, Jonah Cutler James from college, thought I was crazy. Because like, dude, you're okay with the world thinking you're this bad guy? And I was like, dude, you look the most popular guys on all these like Love Island and these reality TV shows. They're all the bad boys. They're the guys that get it going. And I said, you know, I don't really care, you know, what the world thinks of me, because I say I know what God thinks of me and my family thinks of me. And that's all I really care about.
It's all that matters.
And it's all that matters. So I committed full go, 10 toes, frat boy, bad boy, F boy, before I was even signed while I was doing the show. Because if I wouldn't have got signed, I wouldn't have been in the WWE and people would have just still thought, you know, that's what I was, which I was totally okay with because I love reality TV and that whole nine yards. But fast forward, I signed with them, kind of had to stay in the shadows till a year later. That show had dropped on Roku because they had to do all the editing, all that stuff, the promotionals for them. That summer passes by after that show rolls out, and then I go into LFG. So now when we went into LFG, the thing about it was I was the only person on LFG at the time before Cutler James had came in halfway through the season that had done a reality TV show before. So it was a lot of young people. So I kind of understood. I had kind of a grips on what was going on. But there was like not a lot of direction, surprisingly. You know, it's kind of like the Wild West, this business, right? So it's kind of like, hey, every man for himself, you know, just do it. And if it's too much, we'll tell you to pull back. And if it's not enough, we'll tell you to give us more.
In situations like that, it's easier to pull back than it is to do more. You'd rather tell them, bring it down here instead of having to jack it back up. So I get it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's funny is everybody's always asking me, and like I said, I never want to reveal completely the magic of the business because I want people to, you know, I'm good at what I do and I hold to it and I hold to these things. But there's reality, you know, hypothetically in this world, you know, there's narratives and there's storylines and things like that. And a lot of people will ask me, you know, was the thing with you and Bubba and the handshake, was it real? Was it not? Was it scripted or not scripted? And I can tell you right here, first and foremost, coach, that was not scripted in any way. That was not acting, entertainment, anything. That was 100% real. You know, Bubba. That's Bubba. And so, And so me, I'm very professional backstage and all this stuff. So I was kind of taken by surprise, because when I was going to LSG, I was like, honestly, low-key just going to be like real like Braden, like BJ. Like I was going to just like be whatever and just have fun. But then I was like, oh, man, he just lobbed it up to me so perfectly to be a menace, right?
Put that on a plate.
Yeah, he put that on the plate for me. I was like, I got to take it. So I went out there later that day. So we had those introductions. And then the only thing we did was promos in front of all the legends. And so everybody's going out to these legends, and I know what the legends are doing. Guys like Booker and guys like Bubba, whatever, they're always going to stay true to the kayfabe. They're always going to hold true to whatever they do. And yep. Times are changing, and that's okay. Kudos to them if they want to stay with that. But I rather roll with the times. I rather not fight time, father time. And so everybody's getting crapped on and all this stuff. And whether they meant it, whether they didn't mean it for purposes of shows or whatever, you know, Bubba had really not shaken my hand. And I was just like, man, like, I was like, you know what? I got to go big or go home here, because I'm like, if I go out here, I said, if I go out here and I tried, they're shitting on everybody. And I just have a face you want to punch. And I just have this like thing about me that people are like, I want to fucking shit on this kid and ruin this kid. Cause like, there's something about this kid that just pisses me off. Right. And I understand it. Right. Anyway, so we go out there. And I'm like, you know, I had this promo barely rehearsed, and you know, everybody's got these fantastic promos rehearsed. And one thing I want to pause and say is everybody will come out and try to be like, oh, I'm cool. You know, I shoot from the hip. I didn't even practice, whatever. It's all a lie, dude. Everybody's staring in the mirror. Everybody's practicing their promos. If there was one guy in NXT coach that literally, I don't want to say this bad. Like, I'm a professional. I practice and I work on what I need to work on. But for me, I'm better at shooting from the hip. So it's like better for business if I don't go over promo and become a robot.
Right.
So I barely had like a promo, but it was decent, whatever. And I liked it. I had an idea, which I wanted to shoot from the hip on. But I saw everybody just getting ran through by these legends. And I was like, you know what? Bubba didn't shake my hand. These legends are staying in character, true to their character and their kayfabe. They're going in on everybody. And I said, you know, what would sexy BJ Ray do? Right. and so there's no like communication or anything. So I go out there. And I walk out, and I can't lie to you, dude. When everybody's like, I'll never show weakness. You know, I'm sexy BJ Ray. Ah, but when I went out there and I got Undertaker, Bubba, Mama, Mickey out there, and Booker T just beaming me, and I'm like, oh, dude, they don't even know the grenade I'm going to go toss out right now. I'm just I'm like, yo, this could either go really good or really bad. You know, really good or really bad. And so anyway, I go out there and – I said, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. And this is kind of the way I think. And eventually we'll get into it. If you ask, or I'll bring it back up, the creativeness, because you know me, you're going to have to interrupt me because I could talk all day. Yeah, listen, But anyway, for me, I've always been my creativeness is my strength. I've always been a creative genius, and not to sound cocky or come across a douchebag. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with being confident and believing in yourself. And people will say it's cocky, it's arrogant to say things. Like when I was a kid, I'm a little neurodivergent. I'm not going to get into that entirely. I never really wanted to bring that up or make any excuses. But with that, I'm a very creative person. Even Bubba's giving me my flowers, and he's told me the one nice thing he said about me is, BJ, you're one of the most creative people I've ever been around in my entire life. And I said, thank you. But I was like, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to hit him with – here's the character. I'm going to hit him with the worst promo of all time. I'm going to hit him with a promo that makes no sense whatsoever. So then they start shitting on me. So then I'll have an excuse to come back at them. Like, come back at them.
Let me ask you a quick question. Did they give you any guidance or parameters what they wanted in a promo, or did they say just go and cut whatever kind of promo you wanted?
Zero guidance, okay. Zero parameters.
Fair enough.
Zero, okay. Nobody said anything backstage. Apparently, some people had been asking, like our coach Ryan Katz, and people. Nobody was really guiding that behind the scenes with production. Right. So people were asking certain people, and they're giving little tips in here. But for me, I was just like, whatever. I'm just going to BJ Ray this thing. So I go out there, and I'm looking at whatever, and I hit this line, this stupid line. I'm like, hey, yo, you got Snapchat? Like, act like I'm all mad, and I'm like, hey, yo, you got Snapchat? You know what I'm saying? Like, this college prep thing, and they're just, like, dead. Like, blank stare. And I'm, like, acting, like, all confused. Like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm acting like it's the greatest promo of all time. I'm out here, coach, just like, hey. Like, and I could just see – I could see they're fuming. Like, yo, is this kid? This kid is an idiot,
is
right?
He for real? Like, what the fuck?
Yes, right. Yeah. What is this kid doing here? Like, they probably. I think they built me up saying, "Yeah, this is the guy that could talk to whatever." Blah blah blah. And so, I go out there and I do that, and so they start going off. And literally, this was like divine intervention because I tell everybody this. There's nothing scripted about this. There's nothing fake about this. Booker starts going off on me. And he's talking to me, and I'm not gonna lie, they don't put some things in shows because they gotta protect. Hey, I gotta say how it is, and I don't care. This is for me. They gotta protect legends, and I'm a really good talker, and I think I could talk better than anybody in the business, right? And so it's not gonna be 60-40 with me if it's shoot. It's gonna be 100% BJ. That's the reality. And so I hit some good stuff they didn't put in there. Whatever, squash that. Booker goes, hey, well. Cut us a real promo then if you think you're good at promos. She's like, cut one on Bubba Ray right now. And I was like, there's no way. I was like, yes. I was like, there's no way, because I was going to go in regardless, but it made me look even more like anti-hero-y. I was like, oh, he just logged it up to me, right? And so then I just start going in and I just say what I really feel about Bubba. And that's a part of it is like, you know, yes, there's still like a character, like obviously, like I wouldn't walk around a corporate company and say that, whatever, but like,
right.
I'm lucky to be in a business where I can, in the name of a promo, say how I feel to an extent. Obviously there's right. certain lines I wouldn't cross with legends, but
at this point you're getting that opportunity to get character over. So you have to jump on it. Right.
Exactly. But I was like, you know, Bubba actually didn't shake my hand, and I'm not a guy to get like mad. I wouldn't say maybe mad or piss me off, but I just took it like as disrespect. I was like, okay, if you're going to be disrespectful, I have no problem who you are. I'll be disrespectful to you back.
Right.
And here's the perfect opportunity because, and you like, know what?
It's almost like the disrespect side. It's like, okay, you want me to earn your respect, but you got to earn mine as well.
Exactly.
That turns into a two-way street right there.
Yes. Yeah, it's a two-way street for me, and that's the way I've always been raised. I've always been raised, and I said in the promo, like, I've always been taught when you meet somebody for the first time, you always give them respect unless they give you a reason not to. You don't got to earn your respect. You always give another man your respect unless they give you a reason not to, and then, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, the whole nine yards.
Right.
So, and here's one thing I will say, you know, to maybe even give Bubba flowers. Maybe Bubba knows how to bring the best out of young talent. Maybe he saw me, and he kind of saw the smirk, and he could just read my personality, and he's like, yo, like, let me work this to get some magic out of this kid and create some confrontation or whatever. And I don't know, but that's just the way that it went down. And so when I went off on Bubba, you know, he started just getting super upset and he started spewing off. And man, there's so much good stuff in there that I wish they would have put in the show. And honestly, I could tell you, it's not a bad thing to say. They just could only fit so much in so much time, but you know, they're going off. And Bubba's freaking out on me, and he's like, I'm a psychologist, whatever, and I'm just doing this, and I'm just trolling him. And he's getting more mad, and I look at Taker's like, hey, you know, do you really think this is a good idea, risking your career
right
to do this, to pull this down? Taker's shoot pissed. I mean, his face was red. He's shoot pissed.
I saw that. I was kind of watching it, thinking the same thing. Like, what's this? At that point, I was like, is this show a work, or is this a shoot? Like, what's going on here? Because he's literally about to shoot himself in the foot.
No. So Taker's shoot piss. Everybody shoot. The only buddy that I could tell, like, low-key, Mickey James, you know what I'm saying? Mickey James likes the bad boy. Shout out Nick. Not playing. But it was craziness. And Taker goes, do you really think this is a good idea? And he gives me, I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to lie? You asked me how I felt. I said how I felt. What are you taking me as a liar? Right. Like, you want me to lie? And he's like, no, I just want you to have some common sense. So then I tell Taker, I said, all right, I'll chew on it. Right. And I think they put that part in there and Bubba loses it. This part's not in there. Bubba goes, I want you to chew on it so much you fucking choke on it and die. And I look at Bubba and I go, you know what, coach? I said, I'll pray about that tonight.
Pray on that.
Oh my God, dude, they were losing it. And that's the thing.
That would have been great. You would have been great if you weren't, you know what? I'll pray in that. Testify. Testify.
Exactly. But you know, that's one of the things, coach. And you know what's funny is because even people probably could tell from the first, you know, 20 minutes of us talking here, there is a part of me that is this, you know, I am annoying. I know I could be annoying at times. I know I could come across as this, you know, rage baiting troll or whatever. you know, that's why I've always loved you, because you, as soon as you met me in real life, you understood me. You're like, I understand this kid. I know this kid. He has a good heart, but like, this is just the way this kid is. He's a crash out. You know, he does his thing. But it was funny because, you know, as we're doing it or whatever, and people are getting mad, and I was working the legends. That this is a kudos to me, and this is my mindset, and I'll say it with my chest. I went out there, and as a heel, I think I'm the most real deal heel in modern day time. I went out there in front of four of the greatest wrestling legends of all time, and I worked every single one of them. There's a point when I was walking back, and then I wanted to pan back around and turn, and I want to say, hey, by the way, I just worked for the greatest legends. That whole thing was up. That whole thing was my promo entirely, and that's why I'm the future of this game. Because you see, that's what they're trying to do with the Unreal documentary and all that stuff. I was already on that, you know. Right. And but then when I was walking back, I was like, you know what? I was like, that would be cool, but I was like, I don't know if that's what they're going for. I said, I'm just gonna hold this through as if it's like, you know, the full character.
Hold that back and wait and use it if you needed it. Right.
Yeah. In the WWE universe. And But in my mind, that's what I really thought. And I was like, yo, I just worked for the greatest legends of all time. And people might say you're an idiot for that or whatever, but hey, listen, this business.
It's the business. And the other side of it is character wise, some of the best characters, I don't even want to call them gimmicks, because it's not a gimmick. It's a character. Like everyone says, oh, your gimmick's so good. Well, it's not a gimmick. It's a character. And part of like Headbanger Mosh is real life. Back then when we first started doing it, we did a live promo with Vince on Monday Night Raw. And we were sitting there like this. We were like half out of it. And Vince was like, we got done the interview. We're like, yeah, we're going to go out to the ring tonight and we're going to try to beat these guys. If we win or lose, we don't really care. But then we want to go back out and then we're going to get out here and we're going to go party with all the fans again tonight. And we got done. Yeah. And Vince was like, where's all the high energy? And we looked at him and we went, Vince, to be honest with you, we're like, we're sorry. Like now we thought we were going to get heat from Vince. We looked at him and we're like, Vince, I'm sorry, but literally we're tired. We've been sleeping all day. Because at this point for us, we weren't getting used a lot. So for all of a sudden for us to have a live segment on Raw with Vince was out of the question. And we said we were up all night and then we had to fly here. So we're working on about 45 minutes of sleep that we got on the plane and we've been sleeping over there for the, and he goes, so this is real life what we're talking about right now. And I was like, yeah. And Vince goes, I love it. Be that way all the time. If you're tired, be tired. If you're dressed, he goes, be you all the time. So my point is, part of us was character was real. Stone Cold.
Yeah.
His character, Sean, as much as I love Sean back in the day, because he's admitted it, I'll say it, he was an asshole. I talk to Sean more now when I go to the PC than when I did all the years in the locker room with him. So all you're doing here is you're creating your character, is what you're doing, right?
Yes, 100%. And you know, that's so funny you say that, because you also had mentioned earlier, this is why you're such a great coach, is you said people love realness, people love authenticity. And that's what I've always understood, and something we'll roll into later. And also, you know, I'm going to call you and have you, you know, help just coach me over phone calls and stuff and come out there and train. But, you know, that's the thing about me that I've always done is it was always me, right? Like when I rolled into this, I was a 23-year-old, you know, wrestler, college frat boy out of Duke University. I was literally an athlete, a frat kid at college, and then rolled right in. So it was just me. And you know what? I'm always very professional in everything I do, like as in showing respect and stuff. There was probably some things I did do that was unprofessional. Like I'd walk around the performance center with my hat on like this. And there was a rule. And that is, it's the total frat boy. It's not just a hat backward. It's wearing it floating, right? Like you're just a total fuck boy like this, right? And there was a rule at the performance center, no wearing hats. And literally I kept wearing my hat over and over. And Coach Bloom would keep telling me, take it off. Take it off, take it off. And I kept wearing it to the point where eventually they just said, okay, the only exception is BJ can wear his hat. Why? Because it became my identity. Because they're like, okay, well, that's just him. Like you don't want to, if you have a stallion, right? And you're going to put that stallion on camera and show how wild and crazy, you don't want to break him in. You don't want to have somebody ride the horse and break him. Otherwise, you'll never have that stallion again. It's gone. That wildness. And that's this business, and that's the way it really is. And the smartest people at the top do understand that. And that's why it's cool when you tell stories like that, Coach, because that's just how it was. And I think that's why back then there were so many amazing characters, you know, because it was really just people living it. And Vince was able to take that and show that to the entire world. And
I mean, even Taker says. Like, Taker has opened up to be more Mark than Taker. But Taker, back in the day, he never left the house. He talks about it. He never left the house because he wanted everyone to believe he was the Undertaker. He was the dead guy. He was the dead man walking. Like, people that, you know, they bought into it. And those are the best characters. Like, I love Ethan Page. He's the sweetest guy ever. But half inside of him, he's all ego. And you see that it comes out that way. So to be more realistic. So, so that's kind of who you are, but not who you are. So I get it. I get it 100%.
Not to interrupt you, but as I was going to say, you know, when I was pulling up to practice with Brookside, a little tired or whatever, and he's giving me a hard time, I'm like, Coach, sorry, I'm running the streets of Orlando, downtown Orlando, bro. Somebody's got to talk to me. I was like, I got to be the character, Coach. I was like, I got to be out here.
There was videos of you that you were sharing at WrestleCon. Because, you know, we can get into it or not get into it. But, you know, there was all the controversy about fans mobbing people. And you went the opposite way. You were like, mob me. Here I am, mob me. But the videos are you just having conversations and talking to people, not being an obnoxious asshole like it came across on LFG at first. So, So it's just it's character. And it's the moment, what you're in and what you're supposed to do at that moment and what you're supposed to do and get over.
And I don't even know if like you had that in mind, but like that's something also I would love to touch on that's like super controversial right now. And I'm the kind of guy where I'm not afraid of controversy, and it's just my opinion. You know, it's like everybody at WrestleCon, you're at WrestleMania, right? And I think it's estimated like it's in Las Vegas. People are coming out to WrestleMania. People are treating it as a vacation in Vegas. People are spending their 2, 3, 4 year savings for this trip, right? And there's like over like 400,000 or half a million wrestling fans in the city of Las Vegas, right? So if you are a superstar, a WWE superstar, I know this because I'm like obviously like the most famous wrestler on planet Earth. You know what I'm saying, Coach? But so I had to break out a little sexy BJ there. See? But anyway, you know, if you're pulling up to an event like that and you know that that's going on, you know, you're an independent contractor, and that's on you. You have to prepare for that. You know, you can't get upset that people are looking at you like you're this god and you're bigger than life, and they want to be all up close to you and they want to like get in right in front of you in your walking path and take a picture with you. You know what? If you're out somewhere random, you know, and you're out on a night in Newport Beach, California, and you're having a dinner with your wife and your family, and somebody comes up to your table right in front of your face, that's a different story. Okay. Yeah. I agree. That's a different story. There's a way to handle it. I still think there's no problem with somebody approaching you respectfully in a situation saying, hey, I know you're doing your thing, but I love you so much. Would it be cool if I just, whatever. I think that's the way to handle it. But when you're in an event like this, man, you know people are going to be camping out at hotels. You know people are going to be waiting around Vegas at the most popular areas, clubs, to try to find people. And so you just have to prepare for it, right? And so like for example, like I had my mom like with me walking around, and I wasn't even expecting that much, to be honest. This is the Brayden Ray answer. I wasn't expecting that much of an influx. Sexy BJ Ray, he was expecting the whole world, you know? Yeah, so, the whole take pictures. But it was actually surprising. It was great to me, and also gave me like a morale boost to see how many people just like knew me and wanted to be around me and take pictures of me. But I knew, I said like, hey, I saw the people up ahead, and I just said like, hey, mom, I'm gonna hold back here for like 60 seconds. Just like walk ahead and walk past the crowd. So I walk in because I don't want my mom to get swarmed with me.
Right.
You know, and so I just like took that prior precaution because why? Because I'm smart. And I know that's what's going to happen because I know these people are diehard wrestling fans, like if it's in any sport, and that's the name of the game. And I'm not going to hate on these people for it. Like that's just what it is. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to embrace it because I'm not going to be like a chick and want to have my cake and eat it too. I'm going to take the mud with the rain. You know, I signed up for it, so I got to take everything that comes with it. Yeah. And, you know, I put that video up and so many people were giving me heat and saying, oh, you don't understand it, blah, 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 blah. No, this is harassment. And I'm just like, harassment my ass, dude. You're a celebrity. You're literally a celebrity and these people love you. Like, you know, if somebody walked up to you and literally like smacked your ass, then yeah, like that's harassment. But if guys, if they saw the video of Randy and guys are trying to like walk right in front of him and stuff, like, you know, Randy handled it well. Like, he kept walking. Like, obviously, probably pissed. Randy probably would have loved to grab that guy by the back of his neck, pick him up against the wall, and be like, dude, who the F do you think you are getting in my way? But, like, he understands. He's a smart guy. He's a professional, you know. He's got to – all the cameras are on him. Everybody's on him. These people pay his bills. These are the people that have given him his entire life. And so he's just kind of like – you know, it's irritating, but it is what it is. But for me, I love all the fans. I'm like, man, if it wasn't for these people swarming me and asking for pictures – you know, I wouldn't be able to be, you know, have my laptop charging right now. Right. So
you're 100% right. Yeah. And it's funny because you touched on everything. Cause when all this came out on my podcast a few weeks ago after WrestleMania, one of the things I talked about was that situation. And I said exactly what you said, cause I've had it happen to me. No lie. Sitting at dinner with my family, with my girlfriend at the fucking Olive Garden. And someone comes up with a piece of paper like this as I'm putting food in my mouth. And I'm like, and they're like, can you sign this? And I'm like, and you sit there and it's like, you gotta stop. And, you know, back then we didn't have these things.
Oh yeah. These things are dangerous.
Thank goodness.
These things are dangerous.
Thank goodness. Because the shit that I probably would have put on YouTube back then I'd probably still be in trouble for. But my point is, people don't, like you said, be respectful. And when you come up and ask, but when you're in a giant thing like that, you're going to get swarmed. Be respectful. I've been in the bathroom where they've put things under the stall. Can you sign this? Well, do you want DNA or can I finish going to the bathroom? So there's a time and a place to do it. But at the same time, if someone asks you, okay, can you stop? Okay. You need to stop. Like fans just need to be respectful as well. Cause they want to, again, here we go. Respect goes both ways. You want me to be respectful to you. You need to be that way with me and you need to talk about it and just communicate with it. But no, you're dead on. You touched it all. It goes both ways.
Yeah. And I totally have to agree with you. And it's funny because, you know, like I said, I my mom owns her own marketing company. Two of my brothers own their own marketing company. I've always been a marketer and I understand how to be controversial, and I understand that controversy sells, and I know how to be polarizing. And so I'll say things in a way on social media. Obviously, the real BJ, a little bit of the real Braden Ray, I agree both ways. You know what I'm saying? And it's not cool for fans to be coming up and just like overwhelming you. Right. And obviously, like, they have to be respectful. Like, you're saying, hey, can you back up or whatever? But like in an environment like when you were at the Olive Garden, or an environment like even I was in, like, I use my brain. I'm a smart guy. You're a smart guy. Other guys are smart guys. They've obviously made it to the top for a reason. Like, it's not that hard. You don't have to have a Duke degree to think ahead of things. Like I was like, hey, mom, I'm a whole bet, so you don't even know you're with me before I come out. Like just go ahead, walk past the crowd. Yeah. And then I'm going to come because I know you're going to get swarming. I don't want to worry about people bumping into you, other full grown men bumping into my mom, because then it would piss me off. Right. Yeah, that's kind of like the point that's the point I was trying to make, is like, man, it's like, you know, everybody's giving these fans such a hard time. And it was like over and over, like, oh, people doing this at WrestleCon, people doing this, people doing that. And for me, it's frustrating because, you know, I may be a little more traditional and old school, and it is different. I mean, you hear things. I don't want to get into like, if they're surrounding guys or girls or whatever. I'm a dude. It is different. I had a couple girls kiss me on the cheek. People thought it was a joke, but it's real. I had a couple girls kiss me on the cheek. I had one girl grab my butt, like literally like fans. And like, I'm not going to come out. Like, there's a part of me that, you know, she's kind of cute. So, but anyway, like,
why you know, you only grab one butt cheek? You should have grabbed the other one too.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know, for me, it was just like, man, you know, I just saw everybody coming after all the fans for every little thing. And I was like, guys, let's not forget who these people are. Like, these, like, you call them fans. I call them fams, like my family. Like, these are the people paying the bills. And I just think with that whole situation, I think it's both sides. I think like management, and not like saying in a bad light of WWE or anything like that. I'm saying like the hotels where they know these guys are staying should have more security, And I think that it would be a smart like I said, this is the frustrating part for me, coach, is like, if you sign up to be famous and to be a god with a lowercase g and be a superstar and all this stuff, like, you don't have the pleasure of walking through MGM during WrestleMania weekend with your family to enjoy a nice dinner. Like, sorry, right, bro. Like, that's not what you signed up for. Like, you could go down to the Bahamas next week and do that with your family and have a nice dinner and spend time with your family. Like you got to think ahead on those things, you know? And,
yeah,
and
I just think it's got to be, I think a lot of the fans just need to realize, like, the only thing I wish is they would, and some, and this isn't all fans. This is, it's actually a very small percentage that do this.
Yeah.
But just treat us like people because we are people.
Yes.
Treat us how you want to be treated. That's my big thing. Treat people how you want to be treated. And if you can do that, then I understand. And if you want to be treated like an asshole, then treat me like an asshole because I'm going to be an asshole back to you then because I'm like, we did convention this past weekend. And this guy comes up to the table. He was very combative right off the bat. And, you know, people come up to the table. Glenn and I are like, hey, what's going on? And guys like, man, these wrestlers nowadays are so small. And I went, what? He goes, they're so small. He goes, like, look at Rey Mysterio. And he's like, JD McDonough. He starts naming all these guys. He's like, you know, Dominic. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Rey Mysterio has been around for longer than I have. I go, what about Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn? These guys were all over. And they're also, and then I just looked at him. He's like, well, you just don't get it. And I looked at him. I go, hold on. I said, before we continue this conversation, I go, I just need to ask you. I go, are you trying to be combative with me right now? Are you trying to pick a fight? Are you trying to argue? Because if you are, I just want to get in that mode and get in that gear so I can fucking bury you. I said, but if you're just trying to be funny, then that's okay. Go be funny somewhere else because I don't want to hear it. Like,
So, and no, it's crazy. Yeah. Cause you probably, I mean, you've probably had to experience that your whole life, you know, cause I mean, you guys have done everything you could do in the industry. And so everywhere you go, you're probably having to,
we were smaller guys, you know, I'm 6'2", Glenn's 6'4", but we were the smaller guys. People come up to us all the time now. They just did it this past week. And they're like, we can't believe how big you guys are. And I'm like, well, when you're in the ring with Henry Godwin and Billy Gunn and, you know, and Undertaker and Kane and Big Show, we're small. But, you know, it's a different generation now. So,
you know, what's funny is, you know, what's funny is your Glenn, your partner, he actually came up to me and he said the same thing. He said, you know what, PJ, he's like, you're bigger in person than I thought you were. And he was like, you're bigger. And I was like, dude, I know. I was like, the camera doesn't do me justice. I said, there's a couple things. Number one is because everybody I'm standing next to are guys like you, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". And I'm literally like 6 foot right on the dot, and I'm not rounding up. I got tested the doctors. You can look up Duke University, my roster page. That's what they measured me at. But it's funny because my build, I'm 6 foot, but I'm like a fridge. I'm stocky, like my extremities. So on camera, when I'm standing next to these guys that are 6'5", you know, and the way the camera picks me up, and I was just like, no, that's how it is. But no, yeah, it's kind of funny for people to even come up and say that because there's always been diversity in the wrestling roster. There's got to be, you know, a David for a Goliath, you know, and there's got to be a Goliath for the David, vice versa, right? So there's going to be big guys, medium guys, small guys, you know, there's got to be what's it Hornswoggles, you know. I think that's what the WWE is lacking. You see how funny it is with this, not to get off page, but what they're doing with Danhausen or whatever his name is. Oh my God, dude, when the midgets literally carried the Miz off the stage, I was dying. I was like, this is the most genius thing. I'm like, I'm starting to feel like that old WWE humor again, you know?
So there's a big part. This actually, you mentioned the midgets. In my book, there is a whole section in there of where Jim Ross called us up and had us drive 6 of the Mexican minis around for like 10 days. And they got
a
minivan to drive the minis around. I mean, it's
great.
Oh,
my
God. We get them high. We didn't realize they didn't have no money. They didn't speak English, so they didn't eat for like 4 or 5 days. We took them to Taco Bell. We're like, we're from Mexico. They're like Taco Bell. So we took them to Taco Bell. But yeah, it was great. So at WrestleCon, speaking of Hornswoggle, because of my arm, I couldn't wrestle. So I went out to the ring. And because this was the afternoon show on Thursday at WrestleCon. So I went out to the ring and I'm like, you know, I had started, blew my bicep. I can't wrestle. I said, but don't worry. I found the biggest, baddest motherfucker in all of wrestling to take my spot. And here he comes. It was Hornswoggle. And he went and bought a mini skirt. And he bought a skirt. Yeah. He had a headbanger shirt. He wore the face paint. And we worked Heath and Rhino. And I said to him, I go, that match was so funny. It was so much fun. I said, if I was in that match, it wouldn't have been as good as it was.
No,
it was so great.
I wish I would have been there for the match. That actually sounds like the most lit match of all time. And the way you presented it, the biggest, baddest dude to replace you and then Hornswoggle. That's absolutely incredible. And you know what's amazing, funny, though, is like, that's like, you know, Coach, like, that's something that frustrates me. And it's something I admire about you guys. I think it's a generational thing, and I'm about to bring all these thoughts together. I know I keep skipping to the next thought.
No, go ahead.
But it's like, man, you know, we're in such a time where it's like all about like clout and image and aura. And it's like everybody has these egos and nobody understands what the entertainment business is anymore. Like you guys back in the day, like you got it. Like you didn't have an ego. Like you understood that like your character on screen, like, does not have time for like the real you. Like, it's not about the real you. It's about the entertainment and the product. And it's frustrating because, like, you know, the other day, the reason I'm kind of putting all this together is because, like, the Miz thing. I had saw like a big article on X, and somebody had come out like, "Oh, look what the WWE is doing to the Miz. Like, why were they doing it like this? They could have whatever." And I said, "Doing it like what?" I said, "The Miz." The Miz is doing good business. The Miz understands the business. I guarantee you, because I've met the Miz in real life, I can tell a guy like Miz, and it's funny because Terry Taylor told me it's usually the biggest baby faces on camera and the world thinks are the biggest dicks in real life, and it's the biggest heels and annoying guys that are really the biggest baby face sweethearts in real life. And I can tell you 100% fact, being in this business 3 years, it is the truest statement I have ever heard in my entire life. 100%. And I'll leave it at that. But anyway, like the Miz, like he understands the business because he doesn't actually have an ego. And like, guess what? That night, that episode, that was the funniest part. If I remember, I don't remember a single thing from that show, that episode, besides literally the Miz getting carried off by midgets. Right. And that's literally, or little people, whatever, I don't care. But literally that's like the funniest thing of all time. And so I love when I see people, and I like loved how you guys did so much character work and so many things like that. And I just think it's a forgotten art. I think that these days you look at like, no, everybody's just like so selfish in the wrestling. It's funny. I get labeled as like, oh, this bad guy, nobody likes this guy, whatever. When in all reality, it's polar opposite. Like, I'm professional. I always want to put people over. I always want to do these things for people. I give everybody ideas. I gave 3 people in NXT their names. I gave so many ideas, dude. Where literally people, a guy in creative in NXT literally told me I picked the wrong path. I should have been on the creative team. But it's like, you know, so many of these guys these days, man, they're like, oh, I want to be a cool heel, you know, or I want to do this, or I can't make a goof of myself because then people are going to think I'm a goof in real life. And it's like, dude, you're an actor. Like, this isn't the real you. You're a body and a vessel that's playing a fictional thing.
You're playing.
And so like, yes. And the problem is like, I didn't understand what people meant when I first came in, but Finley had told me that like people start to believe they're their actual character. And then I soon realized what he actually meant because I experienced it firsthand. Right. And that's one of the biggest things that frustrates me about the wrestling business. And that's why I call like the modern day pro wrestling business, I say, is the softest industry of all time. And honestly, I stand by that. And I know, you know, obviously I'm strongly opinionated, and me and you could have different opinions on different things, and that's totally okay. Yeah. But I say that with my chest, because from everything I experienced, and I even look at like the way these fans react, and they get so pissed about these little things, and, oh, you can't do this, you can't say that. And then it's just not the fans at times. It's also like the people I'm working with. Like, I had one guy, right? And I'm this heel. I'm building up this Mr. Disrespectful, don't care about anything. But when I was in NXT, a guy I'm very familiar with, we'll leave it at that. You know, I'm building this big heel. He's building this big baby face. And I'm like, hey, I want to do something. And I'm going to, after I run my heat on you, whatever, the very end, I'm going to Halo 2008, Halo 2, Master Chief, teabag your face. And then you're going to, I'm going to start being cocky. You're going to start firing up, and I'm going to come back to get you. You're going to hit something. I'm going to start trying to break you down. And then you just turn into Hulk Hogan, bro. And you smash me, finish me. I'm going to put you over. I'm going to give you the pin, boom. And then you teabag my face 3 times. And right. The people are going to be going crazy. And it's okay. You're not a heel that's doing it because you're giving it back what I gave you as the douchebag. And after I'm telling this amazing idea that I'm like, this is what's going to make you look, get people going crazy for you. He's like, oh man, like, no, I just can't do that. Even though like the name acting, like, I can't let you put your nuts like near my face. And I'm like, bro, what? Like, dude, this is entertainment. Like, right. This is entertainment.
If you're taking and giving certain moves, you're in that area anyway. So what's the big fucking deal?
No, exactly. Yeah. But I mean,
someone, your hand is literally up their ass and you're like feeling their nuts. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's one of the things. I know I just went on a little rant there because that's what I do. But
fine, because your rant actually, you brought something up that makes a lot of sense. As you said, a lot of people start believing in their character. They really think that's them. I don't know if you've seen the Hulk Hogan thing yet. I started watching it. So part of and this popped in my head because I just watched it over the weekend while I was on the plane. I still have the last episode to watch. But anyway, part of it, they ask him, like, did you really, at one point, Hogan, before obviously he passed, but he said, he goes, I really thought like I was this bigger than life person. I started really believing that I was Hulk Hogan and not Terry Bollea anymore. Like that really feeds into people. 100% it does.
Yeah.
People buy into that.
That's literally just what happens. And for me, that's like one of the most frustrating parts because, you know, I like I said, I'm glad that we've been able, you know, I open up and I'm tearing back these curtains. I'm going to start treating it like, you know, a professional actor or whatever. But like I said, everything I've done is super calculated. Everything I do is professional. I run everything, the whole TNA thing. Everything has always been set up. Everything, I always talk to everybody. But like I do it in a way that I've really been able to bring back the magic of the business. You know, I got when you got people saying, is he really this way? Is he this way? When I moved out here, I'm not going to say the gym or whatever, because I just don't know if they want me to yet without permission. But there's a gym out here in Southern California and I went to, and the coach has been the owner and the head coach. I came in, I met them first, whatever. And they're like, man, like after like talking to him for like 30 minutes, they're like, you know, BJ, you're actually like really cool. We were a little concerned when you came in that you might actually be like this. And I was like, oh man, I said, this is just what I do, whatever. And I said, I actually should just be a baby face, but not playing. But he was like, well, dude, let me tell you what, I've been in this business for over 31 years. And he said, you fooled me. So let me tell you, my friend, you are very good at your job. And it's true. Like the thing that's frustrating for me is like, I almost feel like I'm too good. I'm too good at doing what I do. Like I'm too good at blurring the lines, which they say is like the best place to be, to where like people don't know. And sometimes I feel like maybe even people in management that don't know, like guys like Bloom and them know because they're around me. Right. But like there might be certain guys that just aren't around me. Like how you said, like before you met me and you're around the performance center as a coach and coaching, you might be looking at me like this kid's an asshole. Well, you know what she said?
Even like when, you know, when you got let go, that was part of my concern for you. Yeah. Was people are going to look at him and they're going to see this personality on TV, this persona, and be like, oh, yeah. he's not, first of all, he's not coachable, which is, if you're not, you know how it is, you wrestled. So if you're not coachable, you're fucked. You're totally coachable. You know, the character is just part of your personality, just jacked up to a level of 10. I mean, and you know, you have your opinions, which we're all allowed to have opinions and we don't have to agree on the opinion, but we can still be friends. Like it's not a 100%. Bad thing because we have different opinions, but it is, you are who you are, and that's what it is. And what makes things more magnified now is that there's social media, which makes it worse. Like back for me, like my first WrestleMania, which was WrestleMania 13, which again, cheap plug is all about right here.
I'm definitely going to read that book for sure.
So part of it was we walked into the hotel and you couldn't move. And it was like people were getting pushed out of the way. And it was crazy fun because it was that was like the moment where Glenn and I said, oh, we made it. Like, oh my God, we actually, like people knew our names. They were chanting our names. But it goes back then there was no social media. So there's social media now. So everything's magnified, you know, to the 10th degree. But you are you, which I love, which is amazing. And it's just your character just jacked up, which is like anyone else who has a character that's real.
Yeah, no, literally. And yeah, you're so right. You're so like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you just take what you're doing and you be real with it and you just jack it up. And like you said, it is time. You know, what's curious for me is like, you know, I know you're having me on here, but a question I want to ask you, like, how was that? Because I wanted to kind of touch on, you had mentioned social media, but like, what was it like at that time? Like not having social media, like, what do you think was like the pros to it? And then also like the cons, like, was it harder to get your name like out there? Is it like a lot harder to get your name out there? Cause for me, social media, like built my career, what I did with it. But like,
No, it was a lot harder because, like, for me back then, we had to, you'll laugh at this, but we had to use VHS tapes. And like we had to send them. The good part for us was Glenn had been around for a couple years before me. Jerry had built a little bit of a relationship with Jerry Lawler and Cornette because they had done shows together, which is how we ended up in Smoky Mountain, or not Smoky Mountain, Memphis at first. And then the guys like Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Tracy Smothers started coming over. And when we were working for Burt Prentice in Arkansas, they would come over and they were there. And then we had to put tapes together. And we had to give them the tapes, and they would take the tapes, and they gave them the Cornette. And that's how we ended up at Smoky Mountain. And then Cornette, back then, we were wrestling as the Spiders. We had the masks on. Cornette didn't like
that's
the
crazy.
Mask. So he created this idea that he had of the Headbangers created. So that's how we got known. It was all through, and then back then, they had scoop sheets. And you're going to really laugh at this, but every week, it was like faxed out to people that had a fax machine who wanted it. You get the scoop sheets and you would sit there in a locker room and read through it and try to find your name, and people would see your name and they'd see, you know, the storyline, the angle. And that's how you got known. It was all word of mouth. It was passing tape, always had tapes with you. You passed them out to everybody, and it was word of mouth. But I talked about this, I think last week on the podcast, about all the releases that happened. And I said, you know, it's so different now. And thanks to Matt Cardona, it's so different because Matt got himself over through social media, and he was the first one to really use it. So, you know, the social media side, and even if you don't end up back in wrestling, the social media side still keeps you alive. And then when Glenn and I really wanted to start working again and start doing shows and stuff like that, what did I do? I literally copied what Matt Cardona did. We started calling out every single tag team. And then we got traction because they started responding back. Like Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston, they were WWF tag champs back then, and they responded to us. So we actually started getting response back, and that's how, you know, we were able to start getting booked again and became, I guess, a little bit more relevant. But yeah, it was hard back then without it. It was hard, but at the same time, it was probably good because some of the stuff Glenn and I did on the road would have been on social media, we probably got in trouble.
I have to say, I can guarantee you the business is not as fun today as it used to be, because back in those days, before everybody had these things, you had to worry about these three little cameras right here. You could have what we call healthy trouble. My dad says healthy trouble back in the day.
I just told this story yesterday. I think it was about, I moved to play something now. I moved in like 3 years ago, and I was going through boxes and like trying to find shit to purge. I'm like, I don't need to take this on. And I opened the box, and there was the disposable camera with pictures on it that had never been developed.
Oh my gosh.
This has never been developed. That's probably a good reason. So the next time I went camping, it went in the fire. I'm like, I don't even want to know what's on this camera, because I'm afraid if I don't pick
it up, the police may be waiting for me. you said, let's just not do this
Or we would take, if something funny happened, and Al Snow always used to say that he lived vicariously through us, because there'd be something going on at like 1 or 2 a.m., and we would call Al Snow in his room and wake him up and be like, oh my God, Al, you got to hear about this. And he was like, okay, I'm wide awake. But what we had then was Polaroids. So we had the Polaroids, and we would take Polaroids, but then we would rip them up and cut them up, and we would shred them or burn them, and we'd throw them away. So we didn't have this, thank goodness, to document everything. So I think social media is good. At the same time, I think it's bad, because everyone now, especially, and I'm not going to say especially wrestling, I'm just going to say in general, everyone thinks they're a reporter now, and they are. They can sit there and video it and upload it, and then next thing you know, boom, you can ruin someone like that over something that's taken out of context. So it's good and bad.
And we all know what's funny is, like, you know, that's actually – those stories that you just told are actually hilarious with what you Polaroid. All I'm thinking, Coach, while you're saying that is, like, when you were talking about having your things and stuff, I'm like, man, they really didn't even have YouTube yet.
No.
I'm like, they didn't have YouTube.
When my contract expired in 2002, I mean, the AOL was still using dial-up. You had to plug it in. You had to wait.
AOL.
The internet was just starting. We would go in – WWF back then had chat rooms. And you get a name, like I was WWF Chaz or WWF Mosh. And that's the only way they knew you were legit, because you can only get the WWF in front of your name if you really were them. But then you'd still have people in the chat room saying bullshit. And then it was the same thing. They're like, oh, you suck. We saw your match last week and you sucked and you lost. And you did that. And I'd be like, okay, I suck, but okay.
But you watched. But you watched.
You watched. You watched.
But you watched.
And you know. And now we're talking about it, so it didn't suck that bad.
Exactly. See, that's the key. It's attention, man. Even back in those days, even more so now, but like attention-based economy, like it's all good. I think Logan Paul said something brilliant, you know, that sounds funny saying, right? But talking interview.
I mean, look at his career. He's fucking brilliant. I mean,
he's brilliant. He's brilliant. And he was saying something like, you know, like all attention is good attention, which I've known. And I've said that. But he said, you just got to know how to direct the attention. Right. And so it's a true statement. And a couple of things I just like don't want to skip past because I'm going to blend this all together. But like when you're talking about like the release thing. So like when I got released and I did the whole LFG show, and you're saying, you know, people are going to misconstrue like, oh, is this actually him? You know, and that's one of like my number one concerns of when I got released, because, you know, I got to put up like a statement post. It's not going to be nothing crazy or whatever, but like, there's just facts of what happened. And it's like, I'm thankful to the WWE for everything that they gave me, the opportunities that you gave me. I'm thankful to everybody and all the opportunities, but like, there's just like a way things went, right? Did 2 seasons at LFG, got a surgery, a month into my surgery rehab, I got released. Not saying anything bad. They didn't say that was the reason. Everybody gets the call, business reasons, very vague, but you know, that it is what it is, you know, that's just what happened. You know, it's funny though, because everybody in the comments and everything on social media is hounding me like, oh, this kid got fired because he's an idiot. And this kid got fired because he couldn't wrestle, or the narrative, you know, don't want to ruin the magic, but a narrative of a TV show is. And it's just like neither of the two are true, you know, neither were true. Like I could wrestle, you know, it's called being the ratings machine and A&E wanting me on all 3 seasons. So, so obviously they had to figure out a storyline to keep me on the show. Right. And so they got me where they wanted me to get me. But yeah, it was just crazy. Cause I'm like, bro, like neither of these are true. And I was like, but now this had happened. And hey, it's business. You know, I don't know what the reason was. I have my personal belief that it had something to do with that via the timeline, but doesn't matter. It's business. It was just like a crazy thing. And all these people are just like, like you said, they just think they're journalists and they just thought all these opinions, like they have no idea, like the reality, you know? And so it's just a crazy thing. But social media, like I said, for social media for me, was always like the key to my career, because that's part of the reason I even got signed with the WWE, was because when I was in college wrestling, like my whole life, I wanted to fight in the UFC after college. And my whole era I grew up in was like, when I was younger, like middle schoolish, it was DC versus John Jones rivalry. And then when I was in high school, it was the Conor McGregor effect when I was a whole high school. And you know how, like when you're in high school, you're a teenager, like, oh man, like I was so invested in that, right? So when I got to college, I was doing my whole wrestling thing. I'd like put my glasses on the mat and my singlet after and take pictures and flex it. And I was building that persona on social media already before I was in the WWE anything, because I saw in my head, like I visualized things like, this is where I'm going to be one day. And if I want to fight, I want to be a Jake Paul. I want to be a Conor McGregor. I want to be a controversial figure because I'm going to laugh my way to the bank, right?
Right.
As I'm like, you know, doing all that stuff, and I come into NXT, and this is a truth. This is 100% the truth. I truly believe, Coach, like I paved the way for like the modern day wrestlers, like all these guys, like Young OG and Jackson Drake and Brad Baylor and all these kids. Like I was like the first guy from the era that I am from, like the college frat boy, that when I came in the WWE, that they were like, bro, like, what is this? To the point where it's like, it turned people the wrong way because they didn't understand it. And people are scared of like what they didn't understand. But like guys like you that are like, go with the times, like when you first met me and stuff and you started understanding what I was doing, like you got it, you know? Like I remember like Carino, one of the first things that when I came into the WWE, they told us in a creative class is like, everything has been done, just find a way to reinvent it. Yeah. And I took that as a challenge. I said, you want to bet? So I went through and I did all my research, and the closest thing to it, there was a Spirit Squad, but there was never ever in the history a frat boy character, like straight, like you're a frat boy. I mean, there's guys that wear polos and car, whatever. But I said, right. dude, like college frat boy, but a modern day college frat boy. So I came in hot like this, doing my thing, my chubby's on, a cutoff polo. And I coach Steve Carino, who's a legend. I had him cracking up, him and Coach Bloom one time, because I wrestled a match at a PC Live match. So we do this performance center. And he comes after me after, and he's like, Bloom and me one up. He's like, did you have a pack of Zins in your back pocket the whole time you're wrestling? And I was like, yes. I said, you noticed. You know, but those are the things. That's how serious I actually take it. So people are like, oh, BJ just says things. I know everything I do. I left a pack of Zins because that pack of Zins, seeing the print in my tacky short shorts in my back pocket, that was the cherry on top of the character, because everybody knows the guy that's walking around with his hat like this, like, hey, bro, you got a Zin on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody.
That's one of those things. So details for me, you know me, I talk details. And details separate the good from the great to the fucking superstars. It's little details like that that a lot of people don't know. And that a lot of people will probably see that going, look at this asshole left his fucking dip bag in his pocket. Like, instead of you going, it's just a detail for a reason of conversation.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And then what I do is I play dumb. Like, they're like, yes, ask order. I'm like, oh, dude, I forgot. Oh, duh. But literally, like, that was the plan all along. And it gets them because then it makes the character more believable. They're like, dude, this kid's actually an idiot. He actually had a pack of dip. This kid is a dipshit, right? and so it's just one of those things I always did. And then so you start seeing these kids come around. You start seeing these kids kind of doing this flow. They're doing over here, doing another company. You said, guys, Zins on the table, you know, the hats, the glasses, the whatever. And, until this day, and I'm completely comfortable sharing this, you know, when I first, and this is a very true story. When I was about, I'd say right when WWE Next Gen on Roku had came out. So I was about 9-10 months into the WWE, and it started rolling out, and I started putting stuff out on social media. The first post I ever made on social media was Next Gen had came out, and then they did like whatever call-ups or whatever. So I had somebody Photoshop a picture of me saying that I got like called up to SmackDown, I think it was, and it looked so real. And I was like, yo, shout out Daddy Triple H, like, been 1 week in the business since Next Gen dropped, and I'm already on main roster, right? And we've got so many likes and people blown up. It was on April 1st, but I posted it first thing in the morning, right? So eventually people caught on, whatever. But you know, one of our head creative guy and the oldest creative, and I know this because I had three different people come up to me and tell me, he had the class, and in this class is all the older talent. So like all the guys like Tony D and Julie, the Creeds at the time, and Trick Williams, and all these big guys that when I first came in, they were the top dogs on NXT and the top women on NXT. And he literally told the class, quote unquote, he said, more people, because they would put a vignette of me. They put a vignette of me on the screen, and it was a louder pop than the main event that night. We'll get into that. But he said, more people know BJ Ray and are hyped about BJ Ray because of what he's doing on social media than you guys. And you haven't even, and he hasn't even had a match on TV, let alone a coconut show. Right. And it's true. And that's what I was trying to tell like all my friends, because I'm one of those guys where I root for everybody. I think high ties raise all ships. I'd be telling all my friends, Shiloh Anthony, I'm like, guys, like, marketing is everything. Social media is everything. Like, I'm telling you, like, it really is. And I was trying to tell people this, but that scared me at first, because when I had three people come up to me and tell me that, like, yo, dude, like, you're doing something good, because this is what, you know, this dude had said about you in creative class, you know, the guy writing the show. And I was like, at first I was like, oh shit. I was like, now I have a target on my back. Now these fools are going to hate me, because you know how it is in this business with jealousy and all that stuff. I was like, now they're going to be like, oh, F this kid. Yeah, I'm sure. And it actually did happen. So I had a couple fools come up to me and be like, oh, you said this on social media stuff. I was like, bro, are you serious? I said, are you being serious? This is fake, bro. Anyway, yeah, it's just a super powerful thing with the whole social media and the way I was able to do it. And I think that's literally like gotta be at least 50% of my success in this industry has been because of social media and what I was able to do on social media and just being controversial and being polarizing and
it's branding. It's branding. Yeah. You're branding yourself. You've built your brand around it. Yeah. It's just a matter of people knowing, hey, this is my brand. It doesn't necessarily mean it's who I am to the core. Like you said, you're not going to do this stuff in front of your mom or have conversations like this in front of your mom or wear your hat like that. It's just, it's different. I mean, like, hey, you know, our thing is real men wear skirts. It doesn't mean I'm walking around all the time with a skirt on. No, I'm not walking around with face painting all the time. You know, even I did the other night because I forgot to wash it off, and I walked into we pulled over at like a rest stop, and I walked in, and I'm like, hey, like, where's the bathroom? And the guy's looking at me before I get it back, and I keep going to the bathroom. I still got face paint on.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
It's your brand. Your branding. You're getting your brand out there so everyone knows about it. But, you know, it's like you said, the social media is how you get over now. You know, it helps. You got to do it. Cause I know, like, cause I'm on some email chains, at the PC, and, like some of them I see, like, it goes, hey, you guys haven't promoted like the show tonight, like get out there and you got to, you know, go on your social media and promote the stuff tonight. And so it's like, you know, you got to use it. That's good. So everyone's constantly sitting like this. So you got to use it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And you know, what's funny is I think for me, the first thing I'd said in this podcast, and this is like the realest of Braden Ray I'm going to give you guys. I think for me, like, what has given me such the decision to be so ballsy and success early on in my career is the fact that, like, I'm professional, but I really never cared to a point. Like, I'm like, listen, my identity is in Christ. It's not in wrestling, and my family loves me. And so I just let everything fly, right? And so when I started doing everything on social media, a lot of people were like, dude, you're going to get in trouble. This is going to happen. And guess what? I did get in trouble. I did do some things I shouldn't have done. I did get calls from the chain of command down. And my philosophy was always, you know, ask for forgiveness, not permission. Because once you already did it.
It's part of the learning tree. It's part of the learning tree of what can I do? What, you know, I was going to say what I can do and what I can get away with. It's not a matter of getting away with anything. It's like, where's the line? Okay, you're approaching the line. Oh, by cross line. Okay, now I know I got to come back.
Yes.
Part of it.
It's part exactly. Of the
learning tree. Yeah.
It's part of the learning tree. And honestly, coach, like, one of the most frustrating parts for me in this business is that, like I said earlier, it's not even like, I'm not even talking about the fan base when I say this, like wrestling soft, like just people in the business. And I'll never say any names. And I'm not saying it's on any certain company. I'm just saying that so many people that I have worked with are literally the biggest pansies. I'd post something on social media. Hey, you said that, you said this. And I'm like, dude, like, this is, get with the program, bro. You could do it back. I could care less. Like, this is social media. This is entertainment business. I don't care whether you're headlining WrestleMania, or I don't care whether you're getting a hot dog and a handshake on the smallest indie show of all time. If you signed up to be in the spotlight, you're open game. You're open game. You can say whatever you want about me. I can say whatever you want about you. I'm not going to take anything personally because we're freaking action figures fighting in a ring. It's scripted. I know people don't like to use the word fake, but it's scripted fighting, you know, and it's a scripted character, and we're trying to build something. And I don't have time to go around to every single guy and ask permission. Hey, are you cool if I put this? Hey, are you cool if I say this? Hey, are you, like, in the indie scene, I don't know every indie guy. If I see something that I could clown on an indie guy on, I'm going to do it. Because guess what? Then if it blows up or whatever, he gets pissed actually, whatever. And then we talk like in the DMs privately, whatever, and we're cool. But then it created a match. Now you have somebody big, like, yo, GCW might see a big organization like, oh, guys, look at this. Let's book Braden and this guy, BJ and this guy to wrestle. Like, it's obviously people on social media want to see it. Yep. It's creating opportunities. It's creating
the opportunity. But the other thing is, it's creating talk. It's creating excitement. It's creating something. And it's the start of something. Because if you don't, everyone, as much as I hate to say this, but the drama sells. And you commenting on someone's stuff, like, I commented on your thing when you made the comment about people leaving early and how, well, if my job's done, I can leave early. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're not 100% right with that. But, like, I commented on it, but it's interaction, because if you don't comment, if you don't say anything, nobody comes back. So that's what creates it. And that's what gets the talk. That's what gets going. And that's what creates interest. That's where I was going. Yes. It creates the interest where people want to see, like, and I said to you, and I told you the podcast I did after I commented on it. I was like, BJ, you want to come on here and talk about it? Let's come on and talk about it. Like, you know, we're disagreeing about something, but there's parts of it we'll agree with. There's parts of it we'll disagree with, but let's talk about it like human beings and figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is. And if you're talking shit about some indie guy, let the indie guy talk shit back. And now maybe you guys can have a match.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. It's about making money, creating interest and making money. That's what this business is about.
You're so right, Coach. It's literally about making money. It's about entertaining and putting asses in seats, and controversy and drama sells. And like, I finally put my thoughts together is like, you know, that's, there's just, the problem is, and people, they could call me a narcissist. They could say I have an ego. Dude, I have the littlest ego. I do not care. I literally played the biggest chicken shit for people. I did whatever to make people look how I was supposed to make them look. But people have huge ego. What I realize in life is so many people have these huge egos. Yeah. And they just can't put their egos aside for the sake of entertainment. And they actually get offended when you say things about them or you say this. And it's like, dude, like, you don't, that's not good for the business, bro. Like, that is like, you got to put the business above yourself. Like, all this stuff is a joke. All of it's for the sake of entertainment. Like, if you can't take it, bro, if you can't hang with the big dogs, then get out of the dog park. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like how I would say it. Am I, you know, it's like the wrestling world is the dog park. And if you're a little Yorkie, then get out, bro, if you can't handle it. Like, yeah, you know,
part of the problem is the world is so PC. It's so politically correct. And people, yes, and not even just in wrestling, I'm just talking in general, have gotten so soft. You can't comment on them or comment on something where they're going to be offended by it. It's like, you know what? Sorry about your feelings. Yeah. Like, this isn't about your feelings. Yes. This is about my feelings and how I feel about something. If that offends you, sorry, not sorry, but that's the way life is. Again, I have my opinion, you have yours. It doesn't mean we can't get along.
Yeah. Exactly. And so it's funny, like, that's something like, so like, I want to touch on, like you had said, so we saw each other at Con and you had invited me on and talk about the Cody thing. And I saw your comment on social media, which, like I'm saying, it's like, everybody can have a difference of opinion, but it's funny how when I have an opinion, right, somehow I'm like the worst guy in the world. I'm a super villain. Everyone can have their opinion besides Sexy BJ Ray. He can't have an opinion. Right. And
Brayden can, but Sexy BJ cannot.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Brayden can, but Sexy BJ Ray cannot. Exactly. And obviously Sexy BJ Ray is going to be very strongly opinionated on social media. And the thing about that is, like, you know, so Cody had come out and he had said something about guys sticking around for the show. And like I said, I know what I'm doing with everything that I do, but there's a part of me that actually thinks this way, and I'll explain it. And you probably won't agree with it, and that's okay. But that's just how I think. You know, I look at everything as business. I'm a businessman. So Cody comes out and he says, guys should be sticking around to watch the show afterwards or something like that. I didn't read the whole article, but that was the way that the headline pitched it. And people said, well, you got to take your time to see how exactly. I don't care. No, I wanted to go off of it however the headline pitched it, because it was perfect for me. But yeah. if it was how he has said it, you know, I came out and said, and the funny thing is, I didn't even say it's what I would do. Like, I've always stuck around and watched because I love this stuff. I don't have no problem admitting I'm a mark. I love entertainment. I love sticking around. I love learning from the legends. But what I told people is, I can't stand when people try to put their point of view and their rules of life and their way of thinking onto other people and say, this is how it is. It's my way or the highway, and pound sand. And I'm not saying that Cody said that, but the reactions of everybody coming back at it is what they were saying. Like, yeah, you should do this. You should stick around. You should do this. And I was clearly making a point to the wrestling world and the entire social media world. It's like, hey, listen, you know, take me, for example. I was an independent contractor. Okay. And I got kicked to the curb. You know, I had a surgery. I got kicked to the curb. They didn't say that's why, but hey, you know, and I'm not complaining, but obviously, and like I said, TKO, WWE, don't get mad. I love you guys, but business is business, right? Yeah. And they're always going to do business. So why do they get to have the perspective of business is business and not actually have to be like, yo, I care about you, bro. And then they expect me to be like, oh, I care about you. Like, I care about my friends. I care about people like I respect, and I'll always show respect and be professional. But I made the point that, hey, listen, if I am working on somebody's backyard, this is what I had said, and I am a plaster guy for pools, just for example, and they have a landscaper that's doing all the trees and the bushes and all that stuff, you know, and the homeowner's handling everything. I have nothing to do with the landscape guy. I'm the plaster guy. So if I'm out on the job, I'm going to finish the plaster. I'm not going to sit around once I finish the plaster and be like, well, you know, I want to stick around and watch the landscape guy to see how the whole job looks once it's all said and done. Like, no, I did my job. And once I did my job, I get paid and I left as long as the homeowner is happy. Right. And that's how I view life. I view life like a real man, a grown adult. And that's how life is conducted. And people don't stop to think of it like that way. But I always think of things that way because the wrestling world is different, obviously. Right. In a sense, it's like the traveling circus, but the way they treat it on paper is the same. And so you can't be mad at me, even though I wouldn't do that. I do stick around, but you can't be mad at somebody if they did. And for somebody to come out and say like, oh, this is how it is, this is how it should be, it's like, okay, so are you so narcissistical to believe that your opinion of how it should be, because this is how it's always been, like, why do you get to set up these rules? Why do you say that this is how it is and this is how it always was with the old timers and this is how you show respect? Like, no, like showing respect is like if I saw you backstage how I did and I came up to you in catering, hey coach, how's it going? Great to see you. Is there any tips? Whatever, pick your brain. Now, if you had said, hey BJ, I really want you to stick around and watch my match or whatever, because I noticed this is what you got to tweak in your wrestling. This is my strength. I want you to see what I do and really learn from it. Take some notes. Now, if I left, then that would be bad business, right? But for people to be like, oh, like they were getting so hot at me, like, yo, you know, that's just not good. And I'm like, guys, like they don't understand, like there's so much to being in the WWE and being a pro wrestler, especially when you're on the big stage. Like you got a guy, let's take Oba, for example, right? Like I'm sure he's got PR meetings and he's got business deals and he's got signings and he's got ABC morning news the next morning, right? So if this guy gets done with his match and has to take off to the airport to go home right away because he's got ABC the next morning in New York or somewhere, and then people are like, oh, he didn't stick around for my match, like you should have stuck around to the very end of the show and then flown home at 4 a.m the next morning and had no sleep and had bags under his eyes when he was on ABC. You see what I'm saying? So it's like people,
I get your point,
you know.
I get your point, and there's a couple things with that. Some of the people making comments are people who aren't in the business and have no clue. That's the first thing. The second thing is I know where Cody's comment came from and I know what he meant by it, because I remember us personally, we were always opening match. We were first match because we were told we'd go out there and we get the first match kind of sets the tone for the rest of the show and the house shows. And you know, we would get there and our thing was, okay, we're here. We want to get to the next town. So we would do what we had to do. We'd get showered and we would leave. So there was two reasons we did that. One was we want to get to the next town so we could hang out and have a good time. But the other side was we felt if we lingered, we were in the way.
Yes.
Even at TVs, we felt like we were in the way. But eventually, we had like Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe and Jack Lanza, the agents, and even the Godwins. They came up to us like, you guys need to hang around for a little bit. We're like, why? They're like, it's kind of a sign of respect. And the thought is the main event guys are main event for a certain reason. You want to be a main event guy, right? We're like, well, yeah, of course. Well, then you should be here and watch kind of what they do. And we were always like, okay, so, you know, we'd hang around a little bit more. So I see both sides. But the other side of it was if we were done, we'd go up and we did a convention. And at the end of the convention, this was over in Tampa, they were doing a Q&A. We went over to the promoter who brought us in and said, hey, do you need us to hang around for the Q&A or can we leave? And he was like, well, if you want to hang around for the Q&A, you know, it would be great. He goes, but if you want to leave, leave. We're like, peace, we're out. Like, at a show, like the promoter, like the other night, last week we did a show and the promoter said to us, he goes, I booked you guys right before intermission. So intermission, you go right over to the table and sell gimmicks. He goes, and then you can leave. I was like, all right, cool. You know, we appreciate that. But I watched the matches before our match. I think we were like fourth or fifth. I watched all the matches and we were in the ring and I watched and I was bringing guys back, like, you know, trying to help them. And because that's just who I am. I want to watch. I want this business to be as great as it can be because I love it. And I want everyone to try and get better. And I want everyone to get what they want out of it. But anyway, I was in the ring and I'm looking over to the corner where I was standing. Guess how many people were there watching our match?
How many?
Zero.
No way.
Zero. I looked at Glenn and I go, I've been sitting over there like helping all these fuckers. And not one of them came out to watch, because what I was trying to sell them on was like, there's this one kid, he was new. He was supposed to be the heel. The opening spot, he's doing this dive flip thing over the top rope onto the floor through three chairs. And I'm like, you're a heel. Like, that's not a heel move. Like, less, like, I'm trying to teach him less is more. Save your body. Yes, there's a time and place for it, but do it in that spot. Yeah. And then I say, and then, like, I didn't say watch my match because, you know, you'll be able to see it. But our match, we did hardly anything, especially with my arm. We did nothing, but we had the people the entire time. So that's why I say I see both sides. But at the same time, like, even when we were at WWE, when we got done, we were like, you know, it's a long drive. Are you okay if we leave, or do you want us to stay? Are we done? Yeah. Do you need us or not? So that's kind of why I said you're not, that's why I said you're not 100% right. Like, I didn't come out and say, you're an asshole. Yeah. You're fucking wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not 100% right. Like, I see it.
Yeah, and honestly, Coach, what's funny is I like see the thing about me is like I don't have an ego. I totally admit I agree with you. Like, everything you just said is right. And like I said, I know how to say things in a polarizing way, and which is the way that I want to say them, because it doesn't matter after it. I can come out split personality and sort of say, this is nice BJ now. This is humble BJ. This is cocky BJ. This, I don't care. That's me. I'm five different personalities at once every day of the week, right? But the reality is like, a lot of, I like what you said there too, because the thing that is just me is just like, the thing that pisses me off is that everybody jumps to their own assumptions and conclusions. It's like, for example, most people don't think about the talent safety. I mean, you guys might get done with the show at like midnight, like after you've been wrestling all day and putting together a match and you're having an adrenaline dump after a high of wrestling in front of 20,000 people. It's probably not as safe to drive home at 1 a.m. in the morning for a talent than it would to be if you had your match at 10 to take off and drive in safe hours, you know? And so just people don't like think like about like the person. They're just like, oh, this is what you should be doing and stuff. And what's funny is I understand the point Cody was making clearly. I think Cody's amazing. And I understood what he was saying. Yeah. I think I totally understood what he was saying. And I think he's actually a fantastic champion. You're gonna wait. Hold on, sorry. Sexy BJ Ray's trying to come out, but Brayden's trying to not let Brayden's trying to not let him. No. Cody's a good champion. I like him. No. Cody's a nerd with a list. No. Come on. But anyway. That's like the thing for me is like, you know, it wasn't even like that whole thing wasn't even like at Cody. It's to mess with the fans because I know how to mess with these people, and I've had like great people. And people might say this is cocky, but I've had people that were doing kind of like the same annoyance, kind of heel, whatever. And they'd say, BJ, that's bad. That's go away heat. That's this kind of heat. And I told them straight in their face, there's no such thing as go away heat. And I said, all heat is good heat. All attention is good as attention. As long as you know, like Logan Paul said, how to direct the attention.
Right.
And you have the backing of the train behind you. If you're in AW, they're behind you all the way. If you're in WW, they're behind you on the way. As long as they double down and they're behind you, the coast is always clear, because you could always make it something fantastic in the sake of entertainment. That's what I believe. And the
people that are commenting, the people that are commenting and telling you you're wrong are people not in the business and have no idea what they're talking about. They're talking about. But they think because they watch wrestling, I'll give you an example. They watch wrestling, so they understand the entire business and tell you what to do. I used to joke. My son used to do jiu-jitsu. You know, I have an amateur background also. I mean, not as extensive as yours, but I have an amateur background. And I would watch Tyler, he's 22 now, but back then he was like, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old doing jiu-jitsu. And I was like, I can go out there. I can do that. Like, if someone came up to me in a bar, like, I could pull some jiu-jitsu out. No, I couldn't. Yeah. I'm not doing it. It's the same thing with with some of the fans. And I just say some of the fans, not all of them, but they're the ones who want to tell you how wrong you are. You know what you're talking about when they're not anywhere close to being in the business or knowing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing that's annoying is like, and it's not even annoying because like I'm unfaceable. That's why people hate me, is because I like literally do not care about what anybody has to say.
It's funny you say one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, you know, you're definitely someone people react to. And, you know, would you rather be loved or hated, or you don't care?
The reality is I don't care, and I'll tie it into what we were just talking about with that question. Is the perfect situation. You know, it's like everybody agrees on certain things. Like humans are it's such like a little matrix bureaucracy anthill of everybody. misery loves company. Everybody likes to jump on a bandwagon. Everybody likes to have the defense shield of coming together in a group and standing in an opinion together. You know, everybody would agree that like slavery is bad or any of these things. And it's like, okay, like then like, why do I have to be a slave to somebody's opinion? Like just because I didn't accomplish the things yet that somebody's accomplished in the business, like why can't I not voice my opinion? I just don't. I'll never step to that beat. And if that mentality doesn't belong in the business, well, hey, I'm a ride till dawn in this business until my horse gives out. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna light up my cigar and sit against a rock and let one out by the silhouette of a cactus, right? That's the kind of guy I am, Doc Holliday style, baby. I'm in my prime. But yeah, it's one of those things that's like, dude, like if anybody, like, why can somebody else say their opinion and then I come out with a polar opposite opinion and now you guys are thinking like I'm saying like I hate this guy and I hope he dies. Right. Like, no, right. That's not what I'm saying at all. But if this guy could come out and say his opinion, I could say my opinion. Just like when Bronson Reed came out and Bronson had said something about something on his Instagram story, a guy being in the business for 2 years and acting like he knows what he's talking about. And then so I commented on it and then Ringside News covered. Everybody's like, who the F is this guy? Blah, 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 disrespectful. And it's like, dude, if he could come out publicly and say his opinion about some guy that's been in the business for 2 years, then why can't I give my polar opposite opinion for the public? I can. Right. And nobody can tell me I can't. The only people that can tell me I can't is the guys paying my paycheck. And who's paying my paycheck right now? It's me on my little own thing. So, you know, I've just always been that way. And I'm the real Braden, the real BJ, whatever. He's still – I'm a nice guy. Like, but I'm a strongly opinionated person. And whether I'm a babyface, whether I'm a heel, I'll always be a strongly opinionated person. That's just the nature of the game. That's who I am.
You are who you are. There's no reason to change. There's no reason to be anyone else. You know, listen, everyone else is already taken. BJ, Ray, Braden, whichever one you're being is not taken. Yeah. So be that person. I mean, that's just not just directed at you. I mean, that's in life. Like, why be like everyone else? Everyone else is taken. Be your own person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. I totally agree with you. And that's just been my mentality. Like when I came into this thing, I said, you know what? I will never change up who I am for somebody. Now, obviously I'm a professional and I make sacrifices and I listen to people and I do what is asked of me, but like there's like a line and there's things I stand on and there's things I stand by. And you know, I've always known I've been one of those guys that coming out of college, all my friends are going 9 to 5 Wall Street finance bros from Duke, Goldman and Sachs, the whole boom, boom, boom. I can't do that. I knew me. I said, I got to start my own business or be my own independent contractor, whatever, because I'm not gonna, you know, have these guys saying this or doing this or being disrespectful or I can't talk back because I'm trying to make it up the anthill ladder or whatever. That's just not me. The people I tell everybody in the world, I say to know of me is to hate me, but to know me is to love me. What I mean by that is like to know of me, because you see me on LFG, you see me in WWE, social media, you probably hate me. But once you meet me and you know me, to know me is to love me. It's a whole different thing. So I say, you know, to know of me is to hate me, but to know me is to love me. And that's just the way I am. And anybody in the business would say that, like, the reality is when I was in the WWE, right, I only cared about 3 people's opinion. You know, I always showed respect to everybody else, but I cared about 3 people's opinion. Matt Bloom, Shawn Michaels, and Daddy Hunter. That was it. I was like, those are the guys that are doing the most important thing. Obviously, there's probably even guys in TKO that I don't even know who they are, or whatever. But they're not paying attention to the little stuff. But I said that's the 3. That's the 3 pillars, right? So I said as long as they're happy, and guess what? When guys would come back, when I'd get a call from one of those 3 guys, and they say, hey, you know, why did you put Liv Morgan's mugshot as your Twitter profile picture? What the fuck are you doing? Guess what? I took it down immediately and said, my bad. I thought I was supposed to be a heel. but at that time, I was maybe 4 months into the business. I was a college frat boy.
I didn't know you did that. That's fucking
hysterical. Oh, you didn't know that? No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No, this is the best. Coach, I got to tell you this. This is the greatest. This is how everybody knew. Everybody in the business. Dom is all these big guys literally on main roster called me like, dude, we knew you're gonna be a generator. They're like, nobody believes you actually did this. Cause I come into the business, right? I don't know anything. I didn't grow up watching wrestling. I'm learning this thing. I got so many different opinions. This is how you do this, this is how you do this, this is how you do this. I got people telling me now that Next Gen rolled out and I'm a heel on Next Gen, oh, go for it. Be a heel now. You can announce you're in the WWE. So the first thing I did when Next Gen gave out to announce us in the WWE was I made Liv Morgan's mugshot my Twitter profile picture. And dude, oh my God, coach, it was on a Sunday. So it was even worse because it was on a Sunday. So nothing is going on wrestling wise besides literally my post. And dude, it hit like 7 million views on Twitter. It was the most talked about thing on Wrestle Twitter on Sunday. Our own NXT people came to me and were sending me the analytics saying that I'm the most trending wrestler. And to make it worse, coach, I double dipped to make it worse. So then somebody responds something like a wrestler, like, oh, whatever, but yeah, you wouldn't do something about this, like about CM Punk. So I said, who are you talking about? You talking about 0-2 Punk, like in the UFC? And bro, oh my God, they lost it. I was the most trending. I got a call from management. What are you doing fucking talking about Punk like this? And I was like, I'm innocent. I swear. I didn't mean it.
So you told me to go being heel. Now I need my parameters. Like, I'm out here. Bring me in. Like, where are my parameters now? Like, I need to know.
They realized really quickly after that, hey, yeah, we got to keep a leash on this one right here. We got, and that's the funny thing also is like people like, I post stuff on social media. People are like, you're idiots, cross the line. You're just talking about girls like on Snapchats and stuff. And it's like, dude, are you guys idiots? This is literally the WWE. Like, do you not think that everything that I post, besides that, because that was literally the first time I ever did anything, but do you not think that everything I post isn't like permitted by these people? Like, dude, yeah, I have to run everything by these people. Like,
here's the thing, though, to kind of sum all that together, you have Brayden, you have sexy BJ Ray, but
yeah,
it all of this proves one thing. You're coachable. You're very, very, very coachable. You're a great fucking guy, and you're just, you want to do good business. You want to do good business, and you're an independent contractor. You're entrepreneurial spirit. You're running your own company how you seem fit to run it. And I said this last week on my podcast about all these people that got released. I said, now that you're released, you have no parameters. You can do whatever you want, say whatever you want, to get yourself over to get attraction or whatever it is. But for you, you're coachable. So any promoters out there that happen to see this or listen to it or catch a glimpse of it, BJ's BJ. He's not going to change who he is, but he's coachable. He's willing to learn, and he's a great guy, and you should book him because he's going to get attention to himself. He's going to get attention to you, to your company, to your promotion, whatever it is. There's going to be attention there, and he's going to get people talking about it. I mean, that's the honest to God's truth. It's 100%.
I appreciate that. I appreciate those kind of words, Coach. Let me ask you
to wrap this whole thing up, because this has been a blast. This has been fun.
We're going to have to run it back. We're going to do three different podcasts. We'll do Brayden Ray, BJ Ray, and then Sexy BJ Ray. Listen, I got a whole screen. Dude, that would be genius. That would be genius if I came on. It's three different people. Let's do it.
So where can people find you? All right. And what do you want? And to kind of boil it all, to bring it all, to bring it around, where can people find you? And what do you want people to know about you?
Okay. So I'm going to keep this super short and simple. You can find me on everything, TikTok, Instagram, X, at Sexy BJ Ray, just literally Sexy BJ Ray. And I just started a YouTube channel, and I just uploaded the first YouTube video. It's private right now, but I'm going to promote it tonight actually on social media. And so subscribe on YouTube to my YouTube channel. And honestly, like, the biggest thing that I want people to know about me going forward is, hey, listen, when you're the best entertainer and pro wrestler in the entire world, they don't call you a good pro wrestler and a good entertainer. They call you one thing. You want to know what that one thing is, Coach?
What's that one thing? Lay it out.
Sexy BJ Ray. Sexy BJ Ray. That's what they call you, man. Sheesh. But no, yeah, I mean, that's it. And like I said, Cody, I appreciate you having me on here. And thank you for always being so welcoming. Thank you for taking me under your wing. And just knowing kind of my personality when we had first met at the Performance Center and stuff. And I can't wait for the future of what this industry has for the both of us, because you still got a lot you got to do, Coach. Once that arm gets better, you back in there, man. Maybe we could cook something up together.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. Listen, I'm excited to see where you go, where you end up. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to comment on it. I'm excited to argue with you about it.
back
and forth about it. But listen, I appreciate you being on. This is amazing. And yes, we're going to have to do the three-part series of Braden, BJ. Like, we'll have to break all the different characters down and just have fun with it. And, we'll have fun with it. And, hey, BJ, do me a favor. Do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it.
Facts.
Just don't suck at it. That's all I ask.
100%. Now I got you unlocked, and I'm going to do that. And like I said, I really, got to bring out the sexy BJ Ray a little bit. But no, I mean, when it comes to this wrestling world and the entertainment, this is actually something also I want people to know. We can end on this or whatever you want. But look at what I've done. I came into this business knowing nothing about the business. And in a matter of months, before people even knew I was signed and the TV show came out, I took over NXT in the business. They put a vignette of me on the screen, and this is no lie, it's no shot, Trick Williams, great friend of mine. It got a louder pop than Trick Williams main eventing that night. That's a fact. And it sucks because a lot of this stuff wasn't documented. Only people at the Performance Center know. It's like, if a tree fell in the woods, but nobody hear it and nobody saw it, did it even fall, right? Yep. Can't go back and can't like find a way to capture this stuff. But that effect I gave the Performance Center, and now I'm ready to give that BJ Ray effect to the entire world. And for what I've done and the amount of time that I've done it on my own and gotten myself over, anybody can say whatever they want about me and they could talk about me. But guess what? They're saying things about me and they're talking about me. And look at me. One weekend back in the wrestling world, in the indie, my first week in the independent wrestling scene, you already got articles talking about me, top five, like ranking me three, four, top five independent wrestlers that made an impact during WrestleMania weekend in the independent wrestling world. And we all know I should be number one, but they'll know real soon. But you got them putting me in a list, Zilla Fatu, then BJ Ray, then this guy, then it. And this is one week in the industry. And so I have a big love for the industry. And to all my haters, I love you guys too. Keep doing your thing. Please keep hating on me, because it only helps. It only helps me. And so I love it.
That hate will just continue to fuel you, which I love. I love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I truly believe I am the best at this shit. I believe I am a better superstar and a better all-encompassing sports entertainer than Cody Rhodes, better than Roman Reigns, better than MJF, better than all these guys. And people say, oh, you can't say that. You can't cross that. What if you piss them? I don't care, because that's what I actually believe and that's my opinion. That's not me saying anything bad about them, or I wish bad, or I wish they would die, or I wish they would lose their job.
You're not like, sitting here saying MJF, Cody, Roman, you guys all suck. You're just saying, I feel like I'm better than them and I can do better things than them. I mean, that's all you're saying. That's not –
And
the people who come back to you and say, no, you're not, I think they're better. Okay, well, that's your opinion, but this is your opinion of you, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
Since when is it a crime for somebody to believe in themselves?
Right.
I've had many people tell me, Coach, in my life that, BJ, you are one of the most delusional people I have ever met in my entire life. And I say, you know what? I rather live a life of delusion and live my life than be where you're at.
Exactly. Love it.
I rather live a life of delusion and go for the stars and land on the moon than to, walk around with my head down and my tail between my legs and not believe in myself. Point blank, period.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Love it. Hey, thanks again. And, we'll stay in touch, and you know how to reach me. I know how to reach you. We'll stay in touch, and, we're here for each other. Love it.
I appreciate you making this happen, Coach. And we gotta make something happen. Maybe with me, you, and Hornswoggle. We'll run it back. Oh, that would be amazing.
All right. Peace out.
Peace out.